Hey, would you bow your head in prayer with me? Father, I do thank you for this great body that we get to belong to, called the body of Christ. How there's so many unique and specialized giftings that you've given to individuals that add to and contribute to your kingdom, Lord. And we pray, Lord, for this little part of your body at Edgewater. We pray that we would be saints, individuals, Christians that are equipped to be used, Christians that are enabled by your Spirit to contribute to your kingdom, Lord. So would you this morning, Lord, continue to sharpen us and enable us to be used by you. In Jesus' name, amen. I think for many people, we spend a lot of our time trying to figure out how to best live life. Trying to figure out what we're to do. Trying to figure out what is acceptable. Trying to figure out what we can buy, what we shouldn't buy, what we should do, what we shouldn't do. A lot of our life is spent that way. How is it to be lived? What are we to do? It starts early, too. Just trying to figure it out. How does life work? What can I do? When can I do that? It starts real early. My kids are already trying to figure it all out. I have a daughter, Carissa. She's 6. And she is a big-time animal lover. Loves animals, especially horses. I don't care for horses. I've been told there's only 2 happy days in a horse owner's life. The day he buys the horse and the day he sells the horse. So I'm taking their advice. She loves all kinds of animals. So a while back, a month or two ago, she came up to me, and she must have just finished like a Tony Robbins assertiveness training course, because she came up, she looked me right in the eye, and she said, "Daddy, I want you to get me a Burmese mountain dog." Now that's a big dog, a real big dog. And then I said, "You do?" And she said, "Yes, today or tomorrow, which one?" There's your choices. We can either get it today or you can wait till tomorrow at the latest. And I said, "Carissa, do you have any idea how much dog food a Burmese mountain dog would eat?" And she, once again with her assertiveness, said, "No, but you just need to buy more dog food." Real simple. And I looked at her and I said, "Carissa, we're not going to buy a Burmese mountain dog. We have Chloe, our golden retriever, and that's all we're going to get. We're not going to buy a Burmese mountain dog." And she said, well, when can we do it? When? If it's not today or tomorrow, when can I buy a Burmese mountain dog?" And I said, "When you're 18, Carissa, you can do whatever you want." Well, my other daughter, Isabella, she was standing by. She listened to this conversation, and she looked at me when I said that, and she said, "Really, Dad? Can I buy whatever I want when I'm 18? And I looked at her and I said, "Yep. When you're 18, you can make the choices for your life. When you're 18, you can decide what you want to do, what you want to buy." "Really, Dad?" I said, "Yeah, why? What are you going to buy?" And she said, "When I'm 18, big eyes, huge smile, dreamy look, when I'm 18, I'm going to buy the biggest pack of bubble gum. I'm hoping financially that that's all she wants at 18. We're always trying to figure out what's acceptable. When can I do this? How is life to be lived? And we've looked at the book of Romans 2 Sundays ago. We saw the resurrected Lord. How we're to know Jesus not just as a Savior, not just as a friend. He is those things, but he's more than that. He's the Son of God. Resurrection power. And then last Sunday, we looked at good news. We looked at us, what the Bible says about us, that we belong to Jesus Christ. That Jesus takes care of what belongs to him. He's got us in his hand. And we are well cared for. And we're beloved by God. That word for beloved we saw is agape, a perfect love, an unconditional love. He accepts us, Not because of what we are or what we do, but because we belong to His Son. He says, if you're belonging to my Son, I love you unconditionally. And then we also saw, finally, that we became saints the minute we believed in Jesus Christ. So we looked at Jesus. We've looked at what the Bible says about us. But still, you might have a question, how am I to live? What am I to do? What's to be my philosophy on life? How am I to navigate life? Well, now we get the answer to that as well. Open up with me, if you would, to the book of Romans chapter 1. Where we see Paul talks about Jesus, tells us what we are, defines us, redefines us. Many of us need to be redefined. We've been defined so many ways by this world. It takes a redefinition. We're a saint. We became a saint the minute we believed in Jesus. And so now what are we to do? How are we to live? Well, verse 17 gives us the clue. Romans 1, verse 17. It says simply this: for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Paul says, really wrapping up, summarizing the entire book of Romans in one simple sentence, he says this: the just shall live by faith. That's it. Those that are just, those that are right in God's sight, they're going to live life by faith. That simple. We all know, I think, as believers, I think every single one of us would say we understand how important faith is. The book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 6 says this: without faith, it is impossible to please God. Those that come to God must know that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. You've got to know it's about faith. If you don't have faith, you cannot please God. The just shall live by faith. The book of Galatians, chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, Paul talks to those folks, those precious saints at Galatia. And he says this to him. He says, oh, foolish Galatians, who's tricked you? Who's tricked you that you should so quickly leave the truth of Jesus Christ, who was evidently crucified among you? This one thing would I learn of you. This one thing would I learn of you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the flesh or by the hearing of faith? How do you receive these things? Do you think because you received it in faith that now you can perfect it in the flesh? No way, Paul would say. It's about faith. You received it by faith. He would say in Colossians chapter 2, verses 5 and 6, he is overjoyed at them. And he said, you've received Jesus Christ by faith. In verse 6, he says this: as you've received Jesus, so walk in Him. Faith isn't the starting point. Faith is the only point. It's it. It's about faith. The book of Hebrews, chapter 4, says there's a group of people that could not enter into the promised land, could not enter into the life abundant, could not enter into the promises of God because why? Unbelief. They lacked faith. They weren't able to get in. They lacked faith. We all know it's about faith. There's no doubt about it. We all understand the just shall live by faith. But here's the dilemma I'm in. I'm a simple guy. And faith to me is so abstract. What does that mean? Okay, the just shall live by faith. Great. I understand the importance of faith. But I don't know how it affects my life. If the just shall live by faith, what does that mean? I'm a simple guy. I need, quite often, when people are trying to explain something to me, as an engineer, I would say, draw me a picture. You're explaining this to me? I don't get it. You're going to have to draw me a picture. So this morning, what I want to do is I want to paint a couple portraits of faith for you. I want to look at some guys that the Bible says these men live by faith and gain instruction, gain practical pictures of what it means to live by faith. And the first portrait, The first portrait, I would title it this way. I would title it this way. Faith is a fuzzy life. Huh? Faith, it's a fuzzy life. And we learn it, we learn that from a great man by the name of Noah. The New Testament says Noah built the ark by faith. And so we can learn, what does that mean? What does that mean? He built the ark by faith. How do we then understand faith a little bit better through the portrait of Noah? So flip back to me, with me rather, to the book of Genesis. Real easy to find. First book in your Bible, Genesis chapter 6, where we paint this first portrait. Faith, it's a fuzzy walk. Or a fuzzy life, either way. Genesis 6, beginning in verse 1. And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and the daughters were born unto men, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. And there were, verse 4, giants in the earth in those days. And also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, they bare children to them. The same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. And God, verse 5, saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of his thoughts, of his heart, was only evil continually. You might be saying, what? What is that talking about? The sons of God coming into the daughters of Eve, or of man, and producing this race called giants, called men of renown. What is this talking about? Well, that term for sons of God is the Hebrew term B'nai Elohim, which almost every other place in the Old Testament, written in Hebrew, it's translated not sons of God, it's translated angels. What is this? Well, scholars are divided on what this means. But there are some that would say this, something took place right before the flood, where angels, angelic beings, actually had relationships with women and produced a group of people known as, in the Hebrew, Nephilim. That's what the term there in verse 4, giants. It's Nephilim, which means fallen ones. And there are those that would say, scholars would say, it was actually this event that produced what we would know today, what the New Testament would call demons. They were the sons. They were the men of renown, or Rephaim. Crazy. Bizarre, you might say. But what's interesting to me, I don't necessarily believe in all that. What's interesting to me is this. If you look at every ancient culture, because they all came from Noah. You know, the whole earth is destroyed. Noah takes with him this event. If you look at every ancient culture, all of them had a quote-unquote myth about beings. Gods, they would call, coming down and having relationships with people and producing certain kind of offspring. The Greeks would say they're titans. When you see the word titan used, what a titan was half god, half man. Every single ancient culture had these things in them. Some kind of weird thing took place. And what some believe is, scholars believe, that mankind, the race was so polluted by this that God had no choice. I have to destroy them. And so that's why when you see, when it talks about Noah, verse 9, these are the generations of Noah, and Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. That word for perfect in his generations means he was perfect in his genes. He wasn't polluted by this Nephilim gene, this destructive gene, whatever it is. Now, I don't know about all that stuff. All I know is God said people were wicked. People were bad. And so he grabs Noah and he says to Noah, Noah, verse 14, make thee an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms you shall make in the ark, and you will pitch it within and without with pitch. Make a big boat. Why? Well, chapter 7, verse 4 tells us. For yet in 7 days I will cause it to rain upon the earth. 40 days and 40 nights. And every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth. Noah, the world's gone wrong. And now I want you to build a boat, and rain is coming. Never up to this point in the history of mankind had it rained. Rain was not known of. It was a whole different hydrological, whole different kind of climate then. The water actually came up from the ground. Different system. Totally different. Interesting to me, this bizarre time where there were sexual deviancies taking place. People were wicked. Climate change. What's so interesting to me is it kind of reminds me of today. There's weird stuff happening. Weird kids out there. Britney Spears and Lindsay Lohan and Paris Hilton. Bizarre activities that are taking place. Climate change, not global raining, but global warming. What's so fascinating to me is Jesus said in the book of Matthew chapter 24, right around verse 31, he says this, guys, disciples, when you start to see your culture, when you start to see earth looking like it did in the days of Noah, know this, I'm coming back. And two people will be working in the field. One will be taken and one will be left. Two people will be sleeping in a bed, a husband and a wife. One will be taken, one will be left. Two women will be cooking food. One will be taken, one will be left. When you see the times like they were in the days of Noah, wickedness, read your paper. Doesn't take very far. No, Jesus said, I'm coming back. So it's a wicked land, a super wicked land. And now Noah is told by God, this individual that the New Testament says was a man of faith, he's told by God, hey, build a big boat. Now, you got to understand from Noah's standpoint what that would entail. He's in the middle of a giant continent. There's no water anywhere. It's never rained before. And he's told by God, build a boat that's 450 feet long. That's a big boat. So big, in fact, if you've been reading the letters to the editor in our own paper, the Daily Discourager, you'll see that a guy about a week ago wrote a letter. And he said this, there's been this kind of banter back and forth. He said, it is impossible to build a 450-foot-long boat out of wood. And so therefore, the Bible is unreliable and there is no God. Perhaps you read that. It's an individual there. Well, I'm glad he didn't talk to Johann Herbers. Who's that? Johann has been in the news lately. He's a guy that lives over in the Netherlands. And in the Netherlands, as you know, it's a country that is primarily under or below sea level. And they have these dikes and they have these dams and these pumps and everything to keep the land, keep it dry. And so Johann had a nightmare one night. All the dams broke, all the levees broke, and his entire country was flooded. So he woke up the next morning and he said, I got a message from God. I need to build a boat. I say that's just plain wisdom. You live below sea level, have a boat. I'd have a boat. But he decided, I'm going to build a big boat out of wood. And so he built a replica of the ark, 231 feet long. He built it in 16 months. And now, if you follow him, he's floating around Europe. Doesn't really sail. He floats around Europe and has it go to different countries. And people are checking it out, made entirely of wood. And he's saving up his money because he says, I can build one 450 feet long, just like Noah did. Sorry, buddy. Johann's proven you wrong. But back to Noah. Noah here. He's told by God, you live in the middle of this continent. There's no water anywhere. It's going to rain. You've never heard of rain before. And you need to build this giant boat. And all these animals are going to come and get on it. Now imagine telling that to your neighbors. What are you doing, Noah? Oh, you know, building the boat. Why? Well, it's going to rain. What's rain? I don't know. That's the situation Noah was in. And it says here of Noah, verse 22 of chapter 6, in that situation it says this of Noah, thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. And then skipping over to verse 4 of chapter 7, or verse 5 of chapter 7, and Noah did according unto all that the Lord God had commanded him. That's faith. That's faith. Faith is obeying when you don't understand. Faith is following when the picture is a little fuzzy. Lord, I don't know what rain is. Lord, there's no water here. But I heard you tell me to do something. And I'm going to do everything that you commanded me to do. That's faith. It's getting a glimpse of God and just simply going for it. That's exactly what Noah did. See, faith is a fuzzy walk at times. We're never going to know everything. Regardless of how your teenager may feel, you're never going to know everything. No one is. The Bible says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 12. It says, we see through a glass darkly now. We only know in part. We're never going to see it clearly. There's always going to be a little bit of fuzziness in life. But Paul would then say in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we don't walk by sight, we walk by faith. Faith is a fuzzy walk. But what we're called to do what the Bible calls steps of faith. Lord, I've heard from you. I can't figure it all out. It's not the just shall live by figuring it out. It's the just shall live by faith. I can't figure it all out, but I'm going to take a step of faith, and I'm going to trust that you're going to continue to direct me and continue to minister to me and continue to speak to me. That's the walk of faith. You can't figure it all out. Perhaps the biggest step of faith I've ever taken in my life occurred a number of years ago. I graduated from college, had a job as an engineer, working at it. When I really felt after about a year in that job that God was calling me to go to the school of ministry out at the Applegate Christian Fellowship. And so I did that. Quit my job, good job. Abandoned essentially my education and went and began to go to the school of ministry. Well, in Christmas break of that first year, the 1 year school, my Uncle George came down to talk to me. Now you got to know my Uncle George. He's not a believer. And he's very much into education. He is a master librarian at the university there in Eastern Washington University. So he's really happy with Grants Pass right now. Thanks for making a good move here. So he's read everything in the world. His wife, my Aunt Linda, has a PhD in mathematics. I can make all kinds of jokes about that, but she's my aunt. She has a PhD in mathematics. And she's a professor there at that same university. So when I got my degree and was working as an engineer, he was so proud of me. I'm so proud of you, Matt. You're just doing so well. But then he came down Christmas after going to the school of ministry, and he was perplexed. And so he just began to ask me these questions about the school. He said, so now tell me, Matt, how many students go to this school? I said, well, there's about 25 of us, 25 students. Okay. Where's the campus at? Where's the campus for your school at? I said, it's not really a campus. It's this five-bedroom A-frame hippie thing that we all live in. 25 of you living in one house. Yeah, that's it. Ah, good. All right. Well, is the school accredited? You know, who has accredited this school? And I said, no, there's no accreditation at this school. All right. Well, at least your professors, they all have PhDs, right? They all have masters, right? They've got PhDs. And I said, no. I'm pretty sure most of them have their GEDs, though. He didn't think that was funny. Okay, at least they're using an approved seminary curriculum, right? You're teaching, you're going through some kind of curriculum. No, we're just using the Bible. Oh, interesting. So when you're done, you get a degree or a master's or something, right? They give you some kind of degree. Nah, they don't give me a degree. They don't. Huh. Well, they'll place you in a job then. When you get out, they're going to make sure and get you a job and get you a career, right? No, they don't do that. They don't. Well, these cabins that you're building, you're putting together these cabins. They're paying you for that, right? No, in fact, we paid for them. Really? So, Matt, you gave up 5 years of education. You gave up this job that you had to go to this, quote-unquote, school with 25 other guys in one house to be taught by some guys that barely have an education how to read the Bible. Is that what you told me? Is that what you're saying? I said, yeah. I'll tell you, after we finished that conversation, I was feeling like a fool. What am I doing? This is a horrible mistake. This is looking really fuzzy. Why did I do that? But then, fast forward about 8 years. Fast forward to 2006, I had another conversation with my uncle after Edgewater Christian Fellowship started. And he started asking me out to church here. He said, like everyone does, you're the head pastor? How does that work? I don't know. I have no idea. And they're paying you? Yeah, they are. And you're able to support your family? I'm able to support my family. And he said, that's wonderful. I can't believe that. That's great. See, faith is a fuzzy walk. You're never going to figure it all out. Sometimes there's going to be things that you don't know, that you won't understand. But you have to do what the Bible says, are taking steps of faith. I'm trusting you, Lord. You've spoken to me. I'm in the middle of a desert. There's never been rain before, but I'm going to build this boat. I'm giving up my education. I'm going to take this step. I don't know where it's going to lead, Lord, but I'm trusting you. I'm going to take a step of faith. Faith is a fuzzy walk. It's just that simple. And I have 3 more portraits to paint for you. I don't think I'm going to get there today. So instead, let me just give you my conclusion. Let me give you one final thought when it comes to faith in this context. When I was thinking about what faith is, faith reminds me of a language translator. I've gone to some other countries on business and in the ministry, and what I found is your translator is the key. The guy that's translating what you say into the language of the people that are there, he's hugely important. If he's a good translator, man, he's going to make you better than you've ever been. If he's a bad translator, beware. You can get in trouble. I remember the first conversation I had with Dave Corson over at the school in Vanuatu where I stayed for a year. He was telling me about the first time his younger brother, Jimmy Corson, came to visit him there in Vanuatu. And Dave knew the language, Bishlama. John or Jim didn't know a word of Bishlama. So Dave took Jimmy and they went to visit this chief of this custom village that they had kind of become friends with. And this chief, right when they came in, this chief said, "Oh, Dave, good to see you. Speaking in Bishlama. Let's sit down, let's drink kava together." Now that's like a traditional drink there in Vanuatu. But one of the problems with kava is this. It's how it's made. You'll go into a village there and you'll see a bunch of young boys sitting around this bowl in the middle of them. And they'll be chewing on the kava root until it becomes a mush. And then they'll spit that into this bowl in the middle of them. And then when they filled up the bowl, they cover it for about 2 weeks, let it marinate, and then it's time to enjoy. So you do whatever you can to get out of kava drinking. It doesn't matter. You feign death, whatever it is. He just died. I don't know what happened to him. So Dave's there with Jimmy, and he starts talking to this chief in Bishlama, giving the chief Jimmy's desires, Jimmy's passions. And they all sit down to drink kava. So they're all sitting down there, and this guy comes out with what Dave said was the biggest cup of kava he's ever seen in his life. And he goes right by the chief and right by Dave, and he sets it down right in front of Jimmy. And Jimmy's looking at it, and he looks at Dave and says, "What did you say?" And he said, "Well, I told him, since this is your first time in Vanuatu, and you've never had kava before, that you wanted it all to yourself." Yeah. Your translator is very important in a foreign country. And what I found is this. We're sometimes in a culture that is hard to understand. We're sometimes faced with issues that I can't translate, I can't put my finger on. But the key is, who's your translator? Who's the guy that you're trusting in? Who's the guy that you're trusting to guide you to the correct decision? If you put your faith in Jesus Christ, if you put your faith in Him, if He is the one that you're saying, "I'm trusting Him. I don't understand this culture. I don't understand these decisions. Things look real fuzzy for me, but I'm trusting Jesus." What I found is, it may not make sense for 8 years. It may not make sense for 100 years. That's how long it was for Noah building that ark. But eventually you're going to say, that was the absolute right thing to do. Because faith, is a little bit of a fuzzy walk. And you have to trust your translator. You have to trust the one that's going in front of you. And Jesus, He proved He's for our best. He proved He loves us. He proves He wants us to succeed when He died for us on the cross. You know He's not playing tricks on you. You know He's not going to mistranslate for you. You know He's guiding you in the correct way. And what I found is, as I put my faith in Him, I'm learning more and more and more to have more faith in Him. That's why back at Romans 1:17, you don't have to turn there, it says we go from faith to faith. From faith to greater faith, we're moving in this faith walk, trusting Him more and more. Things may be fuzzy, but it's because of my eyesight. Things may not be in focus because it's me, but I'm trusting the one that has perfect eyesight, the one that can see down the road 10 years, 5 years, and I'm trusting His wisdom. And I say this today because I want to encourage some of you in here. that have these dreams, that have these passions, that have these desires, but you just can't figure it all out. You're wondering, oh Lord, I would love to do this. I would like to try that. Oh, I want to go do that. But I can't figure it out. You won't. Don't try to. Instead, take a step of faith. Take a step of faith and watch and see God secure it. Watch and see God give you the next step. The Bible says, your word is a lamp unto my feet. Not a spotlight out 5 years. Not a 10-year plan. A lamp to your feet for every step that you take. You've got to take a step of faith. You'll never figure it out. The just shall live by figuring it out. Nope. The just shall live by faith. And what you'll find is it's the most exciting life. See, it says the just shall live by faith. Live. You want to truly live an abundant, exciting ride of your life? Then you have to take steps of faith. There's no other way. Braveheart said once, it's one of the few things I wrote down from that movie. He said, all men die, few men really live. I love that. You want to really live? You want to really live? The just shall live by faith. Go for it. Watch and see God. Do something with you that's radical, that's incredible, because you've trusted in Him. He's the perfect translator. And I'm convinced there's a bunch of people in here that need prayer for decisions you're making, that have passions, that have desires, that want to do something, but you're just kind of wondering, you're just kind of trying to figure out too much instead of just going for it. I want to pray for you guys. And so after this service, I'm going to have leadership and the pastors right over here. We'll pray for you. We'll pray that God becomes your translator, that God helps you make those decisions, that you trust in Him, that you don't try to figure it all out, that you allow it to be fuzzy at times like Noah did, but you just go for it and watch and see God do great things with you. And I think there's other people in here. I need prayer for sickness. The Bible says this in James chapter 5. It's the prayer of faith that heals. We'd love to pray for you as well. Come down here. We'll anoint you with oil. We'll pray for you and watch and see God by your faith heal you. So if you want prayer, a bunch of us are going to be right over here. We'd love to pray for you. For decisions you might have to make. Finances that you might be in. Whatever it is. The just shall live by faith. We're going to pray in faith for you. All right? Father, I thank you for this congregation. And I pray that we would allow life at times to be fuzzy. That we wouldn't have to try to figure it all out or have a 15-year plan. But we would be led by your Spirit. We'd take steps of faith in areas, Lord, that you're leading us, that we would listen to you and obey you, Lord. So allow us, Lord, to allow life at times to be fuzzy, to make decisions that other people may not understand, may not get. But we're doing it because we're trusting in you, allowing you to lead us and guide us, translating this life into a way that we can understand. So bless us, Lord. Be with us this day in Jesus' name. Amen. You guys are dismissed. If you want prayer, we'll be right over here.